and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
You see, my mission today is clear. To wake the dead. So let freedom's song rage. You're not abandoned. You're not alone. Last day warriors, arise from yesterday's ash. And raise your fist with us. We are the army that's charging upon the land. Defeat is no longer an option. It is victory. We stand.
Good morning, Jeffersonians. It's Saturday again.
Yeah, we're back once again and again and again and again.
And again and again. That's funny.
So I hope everybody's doing pretty good this morning. Looks like it's going to be a gorgeous weekend, another warm one, and I don't know about the rest of you, but I think I'm about ready to start sliding into fall here.
Yeah. Well, it's been a nice week.
Well, it's cool. It's like I can't remember winter. It's just been one long, long, long summer. I think it started in February. It's still going.
Like, but we had a crap winter last year.
Yeah.
There was no rain. It wasn't even cold.
I know. There was no good fun stuff. So.
Yeah.
Well, you know, if we had an ice rink in Reading, we could go have winter anytime we wanted.
That is a great idea. We should put it at Turtle Bay like you suggested.
I think so. And I think I could even make the argument that it's a bipartisan building.
Oh?
Well, you know, you're more conservative, more aggressive people, we can have hockey. And you're more liberal, more artsy people, you've got ice skating. You can bring all kinds of things to Reading culture-wise, like Disney on Ice and the Ice Capades.
Okay, that would be cool.
All kinds of different stuff that people would go and cool. would generate revenue. You could, get your local schools involved with a hockey league. You could have peewee hockey. You could have junior ice skating. I don't know. People, the more I think about it, the more I like the idea.
See, I really want to see, you know, kind of like a fight club type idea where you got Reading City Council versus Shasta County Board of Supervisors. I think that would be fun.
That would be interesting.
That would be interesting.
I wonder what kind of goalie David Kehoe would make. I don't know. It's a thought. It's interesting. You know, just I don't know. I think it's a good idea. And it's not necessarily just that idea. It's things that are going to improve the community.
And it's a new market. That's what you were hitting last time.
It is. It's a completely untapped market. You're not stealing revenue from any other businesses. It helps all aspects of Reading and the people of Reading, not just realtors and businessmen that want to bring in high-dollar clients and stick them in a Sheraton hotel. So,
yeah.
Anyways, just my brain fart of the morning is still continuing. I'm going to find a way to get a hockey or a ice rink in Reading. I think it's a fantastic idea.
I like the idea. I really do. And we're bringing back our signer segment. Yay! It's only been, 3 weeks? For those of you who are unaware, I had a huge paper due. It's actually due tomorrow. I turned it in Thursday. So we finally have our signer segment back because I was doing other history that took up all my time. But today we're going to be talking about, arguably, the most famous signer of the Declaration of Independence. And no, we're not talking about Herbie Hancock. Today, we're going to be talking about John Hancock.
Hmm.
Yes. John Hancock. He was born January the 12th, 1737, in Braintree, Massachusetts. But at a young age, he was orphaned. So his wealthy uncle, who was childless, adopted him. Hancock's uncle was a merchant by trade, but his wealth afforded Hancock the ability to attend Harvard and receive a degree in business, where he graduated at the age of 17.
Oh, homegrown college guy. Okay.
Yep. He apprenticed to his uncle as a clerk and proved to be quite capable. So in 1760, when he was 23, his uncle sent him on a business mission to England.
There we go.
Yep. While there, Hancock witnessed the coronation of George III and was able to engage with leading businessmen throughout London. 1763, however, his uncle died. So John Hancock inherited what was said to be the greatest body of wealth in New England.
Wow.
Yeah.
So he was like the Bill Gates of his time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The Warren Buffett.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And like most of the upper echelon, this wealthy group of men consisted mainly of loyalists. Most of the wealthy people were loyalists because they would lose a lot if they decided to go with revolutionaries.
Well, you see, back then, as a colonist, he would have been that dirty new money that the old money couldn't stand.
Exactly. Does that sound like something going on today?
It does.
It really does, doesn't it? I'm just saying.
How history continues to repeat itself.
That's why we can't take history out of schools, folks. But anyway, back to Johnny Hancock. Despite this, he became very involved in revolutionary politics, but he wanted nothing but independence from Britain. From the very beginning, that's all he wanted was independence from Britain. 1766, he was elected to the Boston Assembly and was a member of the Stamp Act Congress. Mm. You see this with a lot of our early forefathers. By 1768, one of his sloops, a ship named the Liberty, was impounded by custom officials at Boston Harbor on a charge of running contraband goods. This caused a private group of citizens to storm the customs post, burn the government boats, beat up the officers, and force the remaining officers to seek refuge on a ship offshore. Then Hancock abetted the Boston Tea Party.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was mad.
Yeah.
In 1774, he was a delegate to and the president of the Provincial Congress of Massachusetts and simultaneously to the Continental Congress. And he held those posts until 1777, thereby signing the Declaration of Independence, when he retired due to health problems with gout. He continued his public service, however, by participating in the formation of the Massachusetts Constitution, just like John Adams did.
Yep.
And from there, he was elected the governor of Massachusetts for 5 years. He declined re-election, then decided to run again in 1787 and won. He served another 5 years for a total of 10 years as the governor of Massachusetts before dying October 8, 1793 at the age of 56. The thing that I liked most about John Hancock while reading about him was that it was said of him that he was a populist in every sense. He held great confidence in the ability of the common man. He also displayed a pronounced contempt for unreasoned authority.
I would say that was pretty common.
You
know, amongst most liberty-minded people.
Mm-hmm. And this was probably why Hancock was one of several leading figures in 1776 to have a decree offering a large reward for his capture. I did not know about that. And though unfounded, the story about the size of John Hancock's name on the Declaration of Independence was so that the British ministry can read that name without spectacles. Let them double their reward. An alternate story says that he said, "There, I guess King George will be able to read that." But the truth is, he was simply the first person to sign the document, and it was an entirely blank space, so he didn't know how big or how small to make his name.
Well, I don't know what you you know, handwriting experts and how you can tell things about people from the way that they write their signature.
They kind of debunk that, though, a bit.
Well,
so it kind of depends on.
In my experience, there's quite a bit of truth to it.
There is, especially with personality traits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like people with a sloppy signature tend to be more open-minded, more free thinkers. People with very tight, neat script or a certain way. It's
like
not a
be-all,
tell-all, but I mean, it does. It's like when you look at people's shoes, you can tell a lot about a person from their shoes. There's different tells and things with people. And with John Hancock's signature, you can very much tell, here I am, I don't care what you think, let's go.
Oh, yeah. And that was definitely very apparent in his personality as you read about him, basically from when he got to England at 23, and all the way up to when he passed away at 56, that he's a very, this is who I am. If you don't like it, put a reward on my head and then I'll taunt you kind of guy.
Well, these guys didn't start out as revolutionaries, most of them. They actually went to their government and tried to negotiate with them. I mean, they spent a lot of time, a lot of effort, exhausting all options within their form of government before they threw it off. And it was only after years of frustration and dealing with apathy from their government and duplicity that they just said, okay, enough is enough. We've tried. You won't listen. We're done with you. And, you know, if they had had a way to elect officials, if they had had a way to throw officials out of office, I think they would have done that greatly. But they didn't have that ability. So, I mean, that's really a lot of what led up to the revolution, and we are facing a lot of the same things today. I mean, especially up here in the Jefferson counties, we're facing taxation without representation. We're facing an out of the area government that is making one size fits all with no understanding.
Exactly.
And it's causing a lot of problems. It's crushed us for going on 50 years.
Well, they've taken away the compound republic.
They
have. Even James Madison, when he spoke about the new Constitution and how on the federal level, the way the state and the House, or not the state, the Senate and the House were apportioned, that was to create a compound republic that could then be modeled by the states to create a doubly compounded republic, that extreme checks and balances. And when you take that away, you've taken away everything
that
the forefathers did.
Would that be the
did.
Republican form of government we're guaranteed in the state?
It
by
actually
the
would. That's the ironic part of it all. That is exactly the Republican form of government that they wanted.
Well, we're actually at our first break here.
We are.
But when we come back, we will be talking about our Board of Supervisors and what they don't know about children and mob rule.
Indeed. This is the Jefferson State of Mind, and you're going to want to hear how to make it yours. So come back in just a few minutes.
Hi, this is Dr. Maria Salas, local Reading chiropractor, and
Josie Salas Tynan, holistic health practitioner. Join us on the Positively Healthy Show, where twins talk health. Listen on the first, third, and fourth Saturdays of the month as we talk about health, lifestyle, fitness, and so much more. Streaming on KCNR1460.com from 10 to 11 a.m. We keep you up to date locally and globally. Find out how you can become positively healthy.
Hi, this is Erin.
And this is Bill.
We the People Radio goes beyond the mainstream media sound bites every Sunday morning from 8 to 10. We dig into the politics of public policy, land use, and Agenda 21. We cover smart growth, immigration, veterans affairs, education, guns, mining, timber, water, and the many, many scams of sustainable development.
You know, for almost 4 years, we've spoken to famous and not so famous people from around the world who bring a perspective of limited constitutional government, fiscal responsibility, free markets, and common sense.
Join us online at wethepeopleradio.us for extensive archives and upcoming show information.
It's the most fun you can have with topics that will make your blood boil.
Join us for We the People Radio every Sunday morning from 8 to 10 here at KCNR 1460 AM.
Join Erin Ryan and Bill Cundiff this and every Sunday for a full 2 hours of in-depth discussion with the experts in their field. Things you won't hear in the mainstream media. We the People, Sunday mornings 8 to 10 on AM 1460 KCNR.
It's the 10th annual Dog Pound Poker Run, benefiting Pets Without Partners. Saturday, September 6th, starting at the Gaia Hotel with 8 a.m. check-in. Come ride with us and help support Pets Without Partners, featuring prizes, raffles, stops, bands, bike games, vendors, and more. Poker Run with a low hand of $250 and a high hand of $500. For pre-registration form and details, visit RedingDogPound.com, PetsWithoutPartners.com, or call 515-3007. It's the 10th annual Dog Pound Poker Run, benefiting Pets Without Partners. Saturday, September 6th, starting at the Gaia Hotel with 8 a.m. check-in. And a big thank you to our sponsors.
Got deathly quiet. His face lost all expression. Said, if you're gonna play the game, boy, you gotta learn to play it right. You got to know when to hold.
Welcome back to the Jefferson State of Mind.
How we doing? We are back.
We are back.
Before we dive into what we want to get into, we got ourselves a caller on the line.
We do. We have a couple. Good morning, Bob. How are you doing today?
Good morning, myself.
Doing pretty good.
Good. You're talking about England and taxation. I was watching American Pickers last week or week before. Anyway, this guy had a collection of English cars. They looked like Model A's, downsized. The guy was saying they had smaller engines, and they were popular then because you were taxed on the size of your engine.
Huh. Oh, how?
Interesting.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting.
That sounds almost like logic that we have going on nowadays, too.
It does. Very scary, yeah.
Well, England has had some very odd taxes. They used to tax by the number of doors in the house or the number of windows, and you even see that down in Louisiana, too.
So if you had less windows, you paid less taxes?
Yeah.
So you could literally say they wanted to keep the people in the dark.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Or like how many rooms you had. That's why most rooms in Europe don't have actual closets. They have the wardrobes and stuff. So, yeah, England's done some, or Europe, rather. Europe's done some odd kind of tax forms.
Interesting things.
Yeah, well, a lot of taxes. Yeah. Sounds very familiar today, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, and cars and taxes. So you all know the per mile tax is being revived and trying to be shoved through the legislature last minute before they get out of session. So everybody be aware of that and pay attention, because that's another one aimed right at us rural folks that actually have to drive somewhere.
Yeah.
So, all right, thank you, Bob. We've got ourselves another person on the line here, but first we've got a quick question in the chat room.
You want me to read the question?
Yes.
Okay, the question, obviously I should probably read the question because some people aren't in the chat room. I don't think in the mornings.
It is early still.
It is early. They asked, who would you like to see replaced on city council, and who would you like to see replace them, and why? I didn't answer the why in the chat room.
Okay. Actually, that's a fairly extensive question. Maybe we better go to our caller first,
and we will come
back to that one.
So. Good morning, Terry. How you doing?
Hey, good morning, you two. How you doing?
Doing pretty good.
Good. Just want to bring up a couple of quick things. On Monday night at 2570 Bonneview Road at Destiny Fellowship Church at 6 o'clock, we will be having Congressman Doug LaMalfa coming in to speak. So we want to encourage all your listeners and all the folks out there, come on over. He will be bringing us up to date on some federal issues, some national issues, and also he will be taking question and answer. That's one thing. Another thing I wanted to bring up was the Liberty Tour put on by Paul Preston. That will be at the Wind River Casino, and that will be on August the 30th. It'll start at 9 in the morning and go to 4, and you can register and get tickets for that at KCNR Radio at 1326 Market Street. And some of the folks that are engaged in that will be Clive and Bundy, Dane Wigington, Brad Dacus, Lydia Gutierrez, and a bunch of folks from the state of Jefferson. So it's really going to be quite a program, one of 10 tours that will be all over the state of California. And it's something where we're going to connect the dots, everything from constitutional threats, state of Jefferson, Agenda 21, and the EPA, a lot of really neat things, and kind of connect the dots and pull everything together and talk about the elections for 2014. So I think it's something everybody would really love to come to. It's $35. It includes lunch, and it's all day long. Whew! That was a lot to get out.
I wonder how many drones they'll be tasking to that crowd.
Well, isn't that reservation land?
It is. Can they fly over reservation land?
I don't think so.
I don't know.
Because it's sovereign territory, so you'll actually be safe there.
Well, yeah, the U.S. government would never unknowingly...
Yeah, would do anything like that.
Like that.
One other quick thing I just want to bring up to you, too, and that is that I was just watching Fox News. In fact, I just got off the phone with Mark Kent a few minutes ago, and there's a panel on right now because, as you know, $5 billion, that's with a B, dollars, was given to the local police departments and municipal police departments for militarizing the police departments. And there's a panel right now on TV, on Fox News, talking about that. And apparently they want to have, when Congress gets back, they need to have this meeting about whether they should militarize the police. Almost a bit... that may be a little bit broad on what's going on, but to me, to look at that, boy, the red flags really go up on that one. I want to pass that along to you, too, and I know you have a question to answer, and I will just get my whatever you have to say. I'll just hear it as you say it.
All right.
All righty.
Well, thank you.
All right, guys.
Thanks.
All right.
And I'll throw on there real quick after this. We are headed to a town hall in Gray Eagle up in the Sierras.
Yep.
And then next week on Wednesday, we'll actually be up in Truckee. And then after that, we will be heading right from the Truckee Town Hall to Thursday at 2 o'clock on the West Lawn of the Capitol.
South.
No, we got the permit for the West Lawn. We couldn't get the permit for the South Lawn. So we will be on the West Lawn at 2 p.m.
Okay.
And
we'll be at the Capitol. You'll see it.
Yeah, the state of Jefferson is going to the Capitol. And we'll be bringing two of the declarations from the counties there to be documented by the state parliamentarian. We're going to start getting the ball rolling. It's going to be a huge event. Be there August 28th, Thursday, 2 p.m. on the West Lawn. It's going to be a party. So definitely wanted to get that in there also. And it looks like we have another caller. We may have to get to our question after the next break, but let's go ahead and get to our caller.
Good morning, Mark. How are you doing?
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Pretty good.
The fun never stops.
Pretty much.
Listen, I kind of wanted to pile on Terry's comment there. You know, Doug LaMalfa will be at the Tea Party on Monday at 2570 South Bonneview.
Okay.
And Destiny Fellowship. And I would like people to show up and ask him why he voted for the militarization of the police. I mean, this is from the NDAA Act. And, you know, basically what they've done is they've... inside that package, and we haven't got a full count on everything, was that, you know, 205 grenade launchers, 345 mine-resistant ambush protected vehicles, and 17,000 bayonets. I would kind of like to, I was just kind of wondering how does that feather into police protection of the citizenry? Yeah, I mean, gee, what are we funding here, and why is that going out there? Are they expecting something that we're not expecting? Or is that, does everybody think that it's okay for the police to start acting like the military? Because, you know, it's like if you give a, give them a bunch of hammers, they're going to think everything's a nail here pretty soon.
Well, I'd say what's going on in Ferguson, Missouri right now is a prime example, because some of the things that are coming out of there, that what's really going on, it's kind of scary. I mean, and
but at the same time, when you've got riots that are just...
Well, the people that live in Ferguson are saying the rioters are not from Ferguson. They're not from their neighborhoods. So they don't know these people.
I believe that, because what you saw was when, like, Sharpton went down there, everything went nuts. And then when he left, it calmed down. And then when he went back, it went nuts. So get rid of Sharpton, you guys.
The people that lived in Ferguson actually told Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton, get out of here.
Yeah.
Take your people with you and get out of here.
Let's figure out what happened.
And these people are peacefully protesting, and they're getting shot.
Well,
yeah, you know, they got sniper rifles trained on people and everything, and of course, our government wouldn't take advantage of this and assume more power. You know, I mean, the NDAA, you know, and the Patriot Act has been the source of a lot of our problems, and they use any excuse. And of course, this administration wouldn't use any excuse to maybe get a little more power, would they, or lie to us about it? Yeah, I don't know. Maybe.
Well, my question is why are the people not mobilizing behind the people of Ferguson like they did for Clive and Bundy? I think they should be. No matter.
I think the demographics.
No matter
city
what
life is
what initially kicked this off. You know, I'm not going to get into the whether the police officer was justified or any of that. I'm not going to condone the rioting or anything like that. But the fact that people are peacefully protesting, right or wrong, that they are exercising their First Amendment right and being shot to death for it. Why are the people not mobilizing behind them?
And the media is drumming up, you know, what they're doing is they're playing both sides against the middle. The media is drumming up, and the governor and the powers that be are drumming up the fact that this guy should be tried without a trial. I mean, basically, he's not innocent until he's proven guilty. He's guilty until he's proven innocent.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you put all that together, you know, I just think that it might be a good idea to go ask our representative Monday why he voted for this.
Well, there was one report that came out from somebody who was in the media. I can't remember what his name is. But he said that there was Molotov cocktails getting tossed at the cops and that he almost got shot by protesters. So you do have the violent ones out there, and how do you differentiate? So,
well, again, you know, think about this for a second. If all those people are being bussed in from other places, are they ginning up a problem in order to use the government to solve it and their
definitely possible.
And their vehicles and their bayonets and their grenade launchers? I mean,
yeah.
I'm just saying, you know, the fact is that would this government do anything like that? Has it done anything
Absolutely.
Like that in the past? Yeah. I don't know. It seems to me pretty suspicious right. that, you know, the problems are coming, being bussed in from the outside mm-hmm. so that they can control the rioters.
Well, if the problem is the people that are coming into the area in order to incite this, you do
right.
have to ask the question of whether they want the militarization of the police, too, whether they're, you know, part of the coup, if you want to call it that.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It is.
So it is a good question, but only time will tell, I think.
I have seen videos of police officers shooting citizens. I have seen video of police officers attacking peaceful protesters, mm-hmm. batoning them. I haven't seen any videos of Molotov cocktails or protesters shooting at anybody. I've heard stories of it, but I haven't seen it.
You know, the police are supposed to be there to protect the citizenry. That's what they're about. It's not supposed to be a military organization. I mean, that's pure and simple.
That is the catch, yeah.
And why are they putting military equipment and hardware into the hands of the local police? That's the question.
Yeah. See, I didn't know that they were getting the grenade launchers and things like that. You know, like when you look up here and you have the Mexican and other drug cartels that are working, and so you have the sheriff's department that have the armored vehicles that they take out for their safety. I don't have a problem with that because you have to fight fire with fire.
Well, there's federal agencies that are tasked to deal with that, like the DEA.
Exactly.
And they should be doing it most of the time.
Exactly. I mean, if you're going to have a military operation, bring in the military.
Exactly.
It's controlled. It's a whole different mindset.
Yep.
You know, the police should not be militarized, in my opinion, because at some point in time, you've got a police state, and it's, you know, the citizens have nothing to say about it anymore, and then, you know, you're being marched off to an internment camp if you're not careful.
And I think that's what we need to focus on, is police officers are there to serve and protect. The military is there to get rid of the threat.
Yeah, and I have no problem with the military being used against cartels because they are armed foreign nationals violating the law on sovereign U.S. soil.
Well, but look at Eric Holder. The guy wants to arrest the terrorist that cuts off Foley's head. What are you talking about? You know, and Obama, you know, he seems like all he wants to do is, you know, fund the enemies. In my opinion, what you've seen the money going out, you know, it's almost like he doesn't want to protect the border. He does nothing about it. So it's a big problem. I don't trust his government as far as I could throw it at this point.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we have got to get to our break, and we do have a caller on line two. We will get right to you just as soon as we get back.
This is Mark Story, CEO of Haven Humane Society. The heat is upon us, and I wanted to remind everyone of how hot it can get in a car or the back of a pickup for our pets. If you see any unattended animals in cars in the heat, please call Haven Humane Animal Regulations at 241-2550 so we can help.
Captain Eric Lawrence needed help after a paralyzing injury in Afghanistan.
PVA helped me write my resume, got me a job interview. I got the job.
To learn more, visit PVA.org. A public service message from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
You're probably wondering, where do I go? I'm out of coffee. Well, let me tell you, Tobacco and Brew. Guaranteed to provide you with the freshest coffee beans. With the rising cost of coffee, Tobacco and Brew offers the best prices, quality, and a large variety as well. Check it out. Go in and meet the friendly staff who will help you with selection and specification of your brewing needs. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Hi, Linda Bott here. Join me every Thursday night at 6 p.m. right here on KCNR 1460 AM for On the Spot with Linda Bott. Find out what's hot and what's not. We talk about fun, film, fashion, food. Brought to you by Dandelion, Crackmaster, Mount Shasta Mall. On the Spot, Thursday, 6 p.m. right here, KCNR 1460 AM.
Have you found yourself stranded with a dead battery and need a jump? Instead of calling that expensive tow truck, call Red and Yellow Cab, and we'll do it for only $20. Running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of the year, Red and Yellow Cab will cater to the needs of your parents, seniors, or children who need to travel throughout the city and county, no matter the hour. Call Red and Yellow Cab, and we will do your shopping, give rides to the hospital, airport, hotel, and many other destinations. Call us at 222-1234. On the road again, like a band of gypsies, we go down the highway. We're the best of friends, insisting that the world be turning our way.
Welcome back to the Jefferson State of Mind. It is a lively one here this morning.
It is.
We're appreciating all the calls.
Yeah.
So let's get right to our next guy, Rob. And we haven't forgot our chat room question, I swear.
Good morning, Rob. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. First I'd like to preface this by saying I am not an Obama supporter.
Uh-huh.
Okay. But let's start looking at the root of this entire issue, which is the entire federal government you can't point the finger at, oh, this is a Republican or a Democrat that we're having all these problems.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
It's everybody.
Whether it's with ISIS or whether it's with the federal government overstepping its bounds in the subject that your last caller was talking about. I can pretty much guarantee you, with very few exceptions as to who our actual nominee will be, that if anybody gets into office as the president as a Republican, if it's like a Rick Perry or if it's like a Mitt Romney, none of the laws that Obama has implemented are going to be overturned. Okay.
No.
That goes from Obamacare, and that goes for NDAA and CISPA and things like that.
Yeah, you might be able to get it amended, but that's about it.
What's that?
You might be able to get it amended, at least some parts of it, but you'd never get
overall,
it.
The overall goal is what I'm talking about. Exactly. You're looking at the problem that we're facing in our country. What's the pressing issue? Well, the border is all wide open, okay? Mm-hmm. Republicans are under the impression that if we give amnesty to the 12 million, which is probably closer to 30 million now, they're magically going to turn around and start voting Republican. I got a message for you. They're not going to, because those people are getting benefits, and conservatives are against that kind of perpetual free handout, not only to American citizens, but, you know, lo and behold, you have another group of 12 million people. The problem is this border issue has existed for a long time. I came back from Iraq, and please don't say thank you, because when people say that to me, it just totally upsets me. I came back from Iraq. I vehemently was a motivated Bush person to the point where I was going to counter-protest operations in New York during the Republican National Convention, because I thought it was disgusting seeing Code Pink and all those people out there, against Bush's reelection. You know, hindsight being 2020, would I have gone out there? Probably not. But I'm looking at the situation from the standpoint of, you had a Republican House, a Republican Senate, and you had George Bush in the White House, and nothing was done to secure our borders then.
Exactly.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You get Barack Obama put into office right now, nothing is done to secure the borders. Okay. When Bush was in office, what happened? The Patriot Act was put in place.
Yeah. One of the most
the government
insidious
started having more power.
Ever.
Did you think Obama was going to come in and magically make that disappear? No. In fact, he enhanced it. So do you
and
think
that,
the Republicans
that make is it? That is the point that people and citizens need to start waking up to. The conservatives
right. So
need
when,
to admit
when you talk
that,
about the problem isn't a Republican or Democrat being in the White House. The problem is the American people not putting two and two together to realize that the government is lying to them
you.
About a lot of things.
Thank you.
That's it.
Here's something that I want to touch on really quick.
Mm-hmm.
The Zernayoff brothers. I mean, you're talking about this whole thing with what's going on in Missouri, but take the Zernayoff brothers, for example, okay? These two guys came into the country. There was a red flag with them, with the FBI being a problem. Russia was saying these guys were a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And yet they managed to do all the things they were supposed to do to carry out their attack, and nobody knew about it until after the fact. And yet we have police in full riot gear on the street responding to it and telling American citizens, you need to stay in our house.
Yes.
Secondly,
and
you have a Marine that was during the election, the last election cycle, just came back from Iraq, was saying, I don't trust my government. I think this is bull crap. They show up at the guy's house 24 hours later. They take the guy's guns. They hold him in a military facility for a mental eval for a couple of weeks, and the guy finally gets out of jail. Now, isn't it funny that you could just go and rip a veteran out of his home, take away his guns, when he posted something on Facebook, and you could do it in a matter of hours, but you can't find two guys who are, like, writing all kinds of blogs about committing terrorist acts against the American citizens?
Yeah.
I mean, what the hell's going on here?
Well,
I mean,
that's
up,
you
America.
Look at, you, yeah. you look at even the Foley situation, the journalist that was just beheaded by ISIS.
Yeah,
and in a matter of hours, the British have identified the guy that executed him from him talking over the video. If they
well,
have capabilities
the
like that.
Well, ISIS is so bad, even Al-Qaeda's afraid of him. It's like, well, don't you guys remember all the Al-Qaeda videos that were out there where all the people they were beheading? They're one and the same.
Yeah.
And when you talk about that situation, I mean, I could go off on that, and I know you guys don't have a lot of time. But I'll just tell you this. When John McCain is over in Syria with Baghdadi, who is like one of the leaders of ISIS now, he's supplying arms to those guys. It's all connected. The arms are being sent over there through Libya, or they were at one point.
Mm-hmm.
The people who fled Iraq, the guys who are ISIS now, were all former Baathists that left Iraq. They sat there in Syria. All of a sudden, oh, we have to go and support the rebels in Syria that are trying to overthrow Assad. Assad's such a bad guy. We give these guys all these weapons over there, and all of a sudden, lo and behold, these weapons are showing up in Baghdad, you know, or not in Baghdad, but in northern Iraq and in Tel Afar and to Crete and other places. And these were the weapons that we gave to these freedom fighters.
And that's where we're really at is Americans need to start waking up to the truth. And then we need to start asking ourselves, how do we fix it? And our ability to influence anything at the federal level right now is very minimal. Mm-hmm. And we need to start cleaning up our own backyards. We need to start taking our own cities and our own counties back from the people that are not aware of the bigger picture that's what's going on, that are enabling this to happen. And we absolutely have to start doing that. That's the reason that we're pushing the state of Jefferson. That's the reason that we're pushing representation so hard, is to restore the voice to the people and to the communities so that we can start to fix it. And it's all well and good to pay attention to what's going on to the federal government, be aware of what's going on, but understand that we have a very limited capacity to influence it at this time, and we need to get in where we fit in, and we need to start taking our own backyards back. That starts with our city council, that starts with our water boards, our school districts, that starts with our board of supervisors, that starts with our own state legislature.
And it really starts at home. I mean, it really starts. You have to start educating yourself. When you look, especially at the federal level, everybody goes, oh, are you Republican or Democrat? Well, you shouldn't be either one. You should be issues. You should look at the issue and say, which is best for the United States of America? Which is best for the people here? Yeah. That's what it should be. It shouldn't be, oh, well, all these Republicans are voting this way, and I traditionally vote Republican, so I'm going to do it this way, even though I may or may not agree. How about you go look up the facts of it and decide for yourself, hey, how can we make it better? How can we fix it? How can we adapt it to actually work for the people and make it? And most things should not be done on the federal level. They should be on the state level, on the county level, or on the city level, preferably on the city for 90%.
And another thing that we need to stop doing is allowing us to be divided by the D and the R, okay? Because people are so divided by Democrat and Republican. It's, they are so polarized.
Yeah.
Anything that the other one comes up with, the other side instantly hates it because the other side came up with it. And we are never going to get anywhere down the road with that kind of thinking.
Yep.
You know, we need to get together. If we need to find common ground, let's find common ground with the understanding that everybody is so passionate because they care. They want to see it better. Do we disagree on methods and things like that? Of course we do. But that's politics. But what happened to the America where you could sit down, have a beer with a guy, and disagree with him, and maybe come up with a solution, or simply just agree to disagree without...
I miss that. I miss being able to look someone in the face and go, I don't agree with you at all. You want to go to a movie?
Yeah.
I mean, why can you... It's really turned into, I think it's all this political correctness crap that is just flung everywhere.
It is. And why is it your children are having to preach to you civility and compromise? Are you kidding?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's like, come on, you guys.
It's silly. And we do need to start getting together and let's fix this thing.
Yeah.
You know, because one of the things that you need to understand is that the latest generation... Those be born in the late 70s, early 80s through the middle 90s, that generation outnumbers you baby boomers. We outnumber you. Oh, yeah. We outnumber them greatly. That's a lot of one of those things they don't want to talk about. And as we become politically aware, we are waking up. We are seeing what has been done to our country, and we're angry.
Yeah.
Are we angry? Are we frustrated? Yeah, we really are. We're not going to be friendly about it. And the baby boomers, you get weaker every day as more of your generation dies off.
Yeah.
We are going to pick your retirement home here, people. Okay? We are left with cleaning up your mess. We really are. We are the first generation that is inheriting a lower standard of living than the generation before. So that has never happened in America.
One. That's the biggest one that really bothers me is our generation... You know, because I actually don't know if I'm Generation X or whatever, or Generation Y or whatever it is, but because I'm a 1990 baby.
Yeah, you would be part of that generation.
Am I millennial or am I X?
I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know either. Well, whichever one I am, you know, it's to the point where it's like, yeah, we might be able to scrap out, you know, being able to make a few extra $100,000 and retire on. We might. Maybe.
Maybe.
But I just want to clean it up so my kid can have a better a better life than, than what I did.
I intend to be more responsible with my children's inheritance than you have been.
Yeah.
Because let's be honest, what are you leaving us? You're leaving us a country that is broke.
$90 trillion. $90 trillion in unfunded liability. We're going to go through a Great Depression that none of you have ever seen before.
You are leaving us a country that is divided.
Oh, yeah. I can't even. I'm not even going to bloviate on that one.
You are leaving us a constitution that is under attack and destructed. We have a lot to fix that your generation has broken.
Yep.
Yet you see fit to bloviate and proteleticize to us about how we need to be running things. Obviously, you don't have a clue.
Yeah.
Oh, and with that, we got to get to a break.
We do. So go ahead, get some coffee or some chocolate or something to make you happy. We want happy, happy people today. So you can call in at 605-4567, or you can visit us online at kcnr1460.com.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank. Professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Hi, this is Dr. Ed at North State Nerve and Spine Institute. Every week I get patients that say, "Doc, I can't live with this foot and leg pain." Raymond Miner is a classic example. He lives in Alturas. He was in serious trouble. His feet and hands were burning at night, making sleep almost impossible. His balance was affected, and now he was using a walker. We introduced Raymond to a new form of treatment called analgesic stim, used successfully in Europe for over 20 years, available only at North State Nerve and Spine Institute. Within a few treatments, Raymond began to feel better and threw away his walker. If you're suffering from pain, tingling, numbness, or stabbing pain in your hands or feet caused by peripheral neuropathy, take advantage of our free 7-point quality assessment to see if you are a candidate for this new life-saving treatment. In Reading, call 530-302-3555.
It ain't been so easy, but I guess I shouldn't complain. I've always been crazy, but it's kept me.
Welcome back, State of Jefferson. So, we do have some things that we want to clean up. We do have a question from the chat room that we're going to try and get to. We do have one thing. We said we wanted to get into our Board of Supervisors and what they don't know about children and mob rule. So, we now know that David Kehoe views the Jeffersonians, the State of Jefferson people.
That is you, folks.
That's us. That's me. That's you. That's tens of thousands of people, David.
Hundreds.
Yeah. Well, yeah, actually, we are up to hundreds of thousands now.
If not a million.
So your view of hundreds of thousands of voters that are concerned enough to get involved with their government and try and change things.
Yep.
David Kehoe thinks that your children.
By his own
verbiage, by his own written text, we are nothing but a bunch of children who want mob rule. Well, David, number one, we are children, and we're going to inherit the earth. And you are leaving us a steaming pile that we're going to have to shovel. So maybe, and I hope and pray, that your children have more wisdom than you do. And let me explain to you about the State of Jefferson and mob rule. We're actually attempting to overcome mob rule, sir.
Which is democracy, which is what you think this country is.
Yeah. We are actually attempting to throw that off and restore a republican form of government, a constitutional republic, where there is equality of the majority and the minority. Because majority rule is mob rule, David. And you don't seem to understand that.
It's Probably because he hasn't taken a history class in a while.
Yes. What exactly do you know, sir, about how our government works? I am actually going to call you out and challenge you to debate me on how the government works and how it should work. Because I think I'll wipe the floor with you about what you don't know. To be perfectly honest, to say that we are trying to instill mob rule, that is what we have right now. Mm-hmm. When the majority decides who rules, that is mob rule.
Because they trample on minority rights, which is us.
That is us.
We are the minority.
So let me explain to you how it was intended to work, sir. It was actually intended to work so that there is equal representation. There is equality of representation on a geographical area to ensure that communities can vote, that they can have a say. It is this system that has been broken that has led us to the decimation that we are facing now. It has led us to the fact that we are going to be living at a lower standard of living than what was given you. It is this that we are trying to fix. We are trying to fix taxation without representation. We are trying to fix unequal laws. We are trying to fix the same thing our founding fathers fixed when they fought the British. Perhaps they were children that wanted mob rule too, sir. So, David Kehoe? Yeah, I dare you. Come on the air. Debate me about government, and I'll teach you what you don't know. And that is what your board of supervisor knows about children and the way our government works.
I don't think I have anything to add to that. I think that you really, I think that was good. I like it.
I'm insulted. I really am.
It is. It's rather, and this was all in emails back and forth between...
Well, between Mr. Kehoe and Larry Leese and different members of the board, you know. So we have...
And you got it through the Freedom of Information Act?
Actually, the California Transparency Act.
For once, California did something right.
They did. Every once in a while, they do get something
right.
But usually, it's they do it for their own ends, and then they find out it's a double-edged sword, and they're like, "Oh yeah, we didn't think that one through." But thank you for the tool. So we understand we have a chairman of the board that's a liar.
Are we allowed to say that?
Yeah, he's a liar.
Oh, okay, I'm just making sure.
I'm sorry if anybody has a problem with me calling Les Ball a liar, but any time a man looks me in the eye, shakes my hand, and tells me something, and then goes back on it, the man is a liar. And I don't care if you have a problem with that. Okay? Now we have another board of supervisor member that we can prove thinks we're all a bunch of children because we want a voice in our government. Mm-hmm. We have another board of supervisor who's a former police chief that believes the Constitution is too generic a document to enforce. And you want me to keep my mouth shut and not tell the people that these are who these people are? Well, I'm going to scream it from the mountaintop. This is who these people are. This is why the system is broken. Wake up. Look who you're voting for. We need to fix this. And we need to fix it now. Because this is the mentality, the moral character, and the kind of people that are running our situation. We need to clean up our backyard, and we need to get to it now.
Yes, we do.
So that's my little rant for the morning. Sorry that wasn't really chocolate or... happiness, but
but we can slide into chocolate and happiness.
All right, let's get on to that.
We'll have the chocolate after the show, but the happiness can be, how can we fix city council, which was the question in the chat room.
Well, okay, you want to know
do we not want on city council that are currently there? The chat room's gone crazy, so I don't even know if I can find the question. Who is running for city council that we would like in, and why?
Well, Patrick Jones, I would like to see back there. Yeah. Whatever you think of Patrick personally or of his personality, anything like that, you will be hard-pressed to find a more fiscally responsible representative for your money.
And he has the people in mind.
You know, I heard good old Murray on here the other day refer to him as an idiot because he actually wants to review the budget and see if there's any more money that they can figure out before they ask the citizens for more taxes. Really? The man's an idiot because he doesn't want to burden us further.
Exactly.
Well, that tells me about what kind of person you are, Mr. Murray.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I want to see Patrick Jones on there, is because I have faith on him to be responsible with my tax revenue.
And that's the biggest thing with city council is they just gave a 2 to 11% raise for all REU employees. And yet they say, oh, well, we don't have enough money for police.
Yeah.
Okay, well, which one is it? You either have the money or you don't have the money. They just gave, a month ago, $1 million to administrators and staff. Okay, you either have the money or you don't have the money. And do you know what these votes come down to? 3-2. And who's that two fiscally responsible people named Cad, and Jones.
And Jones. Yeah.
Every single time.
If you are unhappy,
blame them for your fiscal problems.
If you are unhappy with the way the city of Reading is being run, why are you blaming the two guys that have no power to do it?
Yeah, the ones who are trying to keep all this.
Pay attention to the three people that are in control and vote with each other no matter what.
One of which is not running and he's out, Bassetti, the mayor of the city. One, Francie Sullivan, is running for election this year. I think you should let her know what you think about her raising your taxes to pay for a department that should be funded much better than REU.
Yeah,
I mean,
why are we throwing all of this money at staff that I will make the argument is already vastly overpaid for what they do?
Well, I can tell you that one person on staff makes $327,000 a year.
Yeah, and we just gave him a 2% raise, but we won't hire cops to put on the street?
Yep.
So, and Patrick Jones is a fierce defender of finding solutions to protect the people, too. So that's another reason I want to see him. So the other one is Mike Quinn.
Whom we had on the radio here 3 weeks ago?
I think something about like that. And that's because he's a fiscal conservative.
He's an accountant by nature.
He is.
He knows numbers.
He's a tax consultant. He's been a successful businessman. The man knows how to run a budget. And he also understands the problems that are facing Reading. He's lived here for years and years, so he kind of knows where the bodies are buried and what's really going on, which some of the newcomers to Reading don't understand.
Yep.
You know, they see the surface of the current history, and they don't understand a lot of the things that go back, that a lot of these problems go back further than what people understand. He sits on the board with REU, so he has a vast understanding of what's going on.
And he's very disliked by most of them, which tells me, hey, that's a good guy right there.
Yeah. So, well, your electric rates are going through the roof, Reading. They're giving themselves raises.
Yeah.
That's your...
And Quinn's one of the guys saying, you don't have to do this. There are solutions.
Yeah.
So listen to the debates as they come up, because he's going to tell you exactly what those solutions are.
Yeah, well, you are having to tighten your belt because they're charging you more money. They're letting their belt out because they're getting fatter off of basically taxing you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you want to talk about it. We are upset. We are a little frustrated.
Yeah.
And when we deal with the duplicity of our politicians, we're getting a little uncivilized about it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, a thief is a thief whether he's polite about it or not.
And that's the thing is as we look at our local economy, as we look at our state economy, as we look at our federal economy, during the break we were talking about economic freedom. And we're like, what is the United States ranked? Isn't it ranked like number 6? Well, folks, we're ranked number 10. As of right now, we're ranked number 10. Hong Kong is number 1. Then you have Singapore. Come on, people. Singapore, Australia, New Zealand, Switzerland, Canada. Come on, guys. Canada, Chile. Mauritius?
I
don't even know what country that is. Denmark, and then us.
Yeah.
There's a country on here I've never even heard of.
We have the largest prison population on the planet. Why is that?
Yeah.
We make up a marginal amount of the world's population, and we have more prisoners than anybody else. And that's per capita, and that's aggregate as well.
Yeah.
I mean, this whole thing...
This is supposed to be the land of the
free. It's broken. It is.
From bottom to top, inside out and backwards, we have to fix this.
Yes, we do. And we start right here in our own backyard.
Right now.
Right now.
Yep.
And we start looking at who's running the show, who's willing to stand up and be the voice of the people, who's willing to stand up and make the hard decision, who's willing to not be welcome around the Reading cocktail circuit because they're standing up for what's right.
Yeah.
Who's willing to do what is right by the people.
We need statesmen, not politicians.
We need leaders.
Leaders.
We absolutely need leaders. And that's the people with the fortitude to stand up for what's right, to say what's right, and not do what's necessarily popular with the most vocal crowd. Exactly. And that works both ways.
And you're going to hear some of that at the Wind River Casino next Saturday. Again, tickets are $35. They're available at the Tea Party, online at KCNR, and I think at agenda21radio.com as well. Or you can email us over at the Shasta Lantern. We can get you more information there. Mm-hmm. But we'll go ahead and settle with some words from John Hancock. And this goes directly into what we've been talking about all day. He said, "I conjure you by all that is dear, by all that is honorable, by all that is sacred, not only that ye pray, but that ye act.
Get up.
Get up and do something. So get off your duff and go do something.
Yeah.
The world isn't going to fix itself, and we have to start right here in Jefferson. This is the Jefferson State of Mind.
And you better start watching out for your children.
And you have to make it yours, and you have to make it theirs, and we will see you next week.
And raise your fist with us. We are the army that's charging upon the land.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. International diplomacy expert Afzal Ashraf says it's likely now that Syrian President Bashar Assad would quietly welcome U.S. attacks on the Islamic State militants on the Syrian side of the border. He explained that on Britain's Sky News.
President Assad will probably understand the signals and not want to target the U.S. because by bombing the IS convoys, he's actually helping him. And so I think that the signals will be understood even if there isn't a direct contact.
Only recently, the U.S. found itself aligned against Assad, calling him to step down from power and aligning themselves instead with the militants that were trying to take over his country. Now they are associated with the Islamic State, and Deputy National Security Ben Rhodes says the Islamic State's killing of American journalist James Foley this week was absolutely
The brutal execution of Jim Foley represented an affront, an attack, not just on him, but